I'm going to open up in a word of prayer. Dear Jesus, Lord, thank you for allowing us to come together, Lord, in your house and to worship and to praise you, Lord. I pray, I want to thank you for Pastor Josh for giving me the chance to come up here, Lord, and to preach your word. I pray that if there's any distractions in the room tonight, Lord, that you'll get rid of them, Lord, that your Holy Spirit can move around freely, Lord, and work in hearts. And I pray that you'll be up here with me, Lord, and move around the congregation, Lord. And in Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can turn to Genesis chapter 22. The title of my sermon tonight is Trusting in the Lord's Deliverance. You know, many people today, you know, everyone goes through storms and tough times and hardships, whatever you want to call it. But we all have those times where we feel alone, or we feel upset. And, you know, we got to learn to trust in the Lord's deliverance. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above ye, that ye are able, but will make the temptation also, make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." You know, when we feel alone, we need to learn to trust God that he'll create a, make a way to escape it, allow us to, you know, get through that hard time. So you need to learn to trust in him and his deliverance.
Amen.
My first point is you have to have complete trust in God. James 1:8 says, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." You know, we can't be trusting in the things of this world to get us through certain stuff and in God. Many people, you know, go to advice of a friend or they drink or to drink their problems away or turn to drugs. And all it does is it makes your situation worse. And if you go to God, he'll work it out. It's not going to be immediately. But if you put your trust and your faith in God, he will get you through it, as promised in verse 13. And I'm going to go through a few people that have trusted in the Lord through hard times and difficult times and where they ended up. Genesis chapter 22, beginning in verse 1 to 13. Read about Abraham. "And it came to pass, after these things, that God did tempt Abraham. And he said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham uplifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said unto him, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he saith, and he said, Lay not thine hand upon thy lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son." Abraham went through more of a trial, like a test of his faith, than he did, you know, a storm or a hardship. But he didn't see what was ahead or why. You know, I can imagine in the moment, I mean, like, if you look in verse 2, when the Lord's talking to him, he's saying, take your only son whom thou lovest. The Lord knew that Isaac meant a lot to Abraham, and he was asking him to give up something that he loved the most. And many of us doubt God because we can't see what's ahead, but we have to learn to trust him, because in the end, the Lord ended up providing for Abraham, even though it seemed like it was hopeless. I mean, he was going to go kill his son. So we got to learn to trust God that he will provide us an answer and will get us out of the storm. Many we don't trust him because you don't see what's ahead or why. In Proverbs 15:3, It says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The Lord sees everything, and by every place, it doesn't mean like everything right now. He sees the past, the present, and the future. He sees what's coming ahead, and that's why we have to learn to trust him, because even though we don't, he does. So we have to trust him in his deliverance and to get us out of whatever we're going through. Amen. And if you, Genesis chapter 24, verse 1, it says that he was blessed. He ended up, Lord blessed him for his trouble. And, you know, if you ever do something for the Lord and you trust the Lord, he's not going to let it go unforgotten. He will reward you for your good work. Go to Mark chapter 4. We're going to read about Jesus and the disciples on the ship as they went through the storm. Pastor Josh talked about this morning. Verses 35 to 41. In the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even, and he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and saith unto sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he saith unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said unto one another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? If you go back to verse 35, the Lord told them to direct the ship right into the storm. The Lord knew what he was doing beforehand. The Lord knew that he was, the Lord knew where he was leading them. And the Lord knows what's going to happen in your life, and he's the one who allows things into your life. 1 Corinthians 10:13 has said that he's not going to allow anything, you know, that you can't handle. And so we got to learn to trust him. My second point is you have to stand firm in your faith. If you ought to go to Job chapter 1. Verses 1 to 12. There was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance was also 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, and 500 yokes of oxen and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. So Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned, and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and eschewed evil? I'm going to pause right there. Honestly, this is awesome, because Jesus is talking to Satan, and he's telling Satan how good of a servant that Job is. And I always looked up to Job and this story in Job, because, you know, I want the Lord to talk to me about that. I mean, talk about me like that. I'm like, he said that he's perfect and upright. He feareth God and escheweth evil. He's the, there's none like him in the earth. And I thought it was pretty cool how, you know, God's talking about Job like that to Satan, you know. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Then thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when So the Lord gave permission. He allowed Satan into Job's life. And like I said before, Satan, the Lord is not going to allow anything in your life that you cannot handle. And also, you know, if we have God on our side and God is with us, you know, we should be able to face anything. You know, nothing's bigger than our God. It's too much to read now, but Satan ended up taking away his health, his kids, his wealth, his friends, and everything he had. He lost absolutely everything. His friends told him to curse God. His wife told him to curse God. You know, everyone was turning against him and saying, you know, the Lord turned your back on you. Why don't you turn your back on God? And in Job 27, verses 1 to 4, this is his response. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, as God liveth, who hath taken away my judgment, and the Almighty, who hath vexed my soul? All the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. My lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. He had nothing. I mean, legit, Satan took everything that he had. And yet he's saying, as long as I have God in my heart and I'm breathing, there's no reason that I should, you know, curse God. Amen. He stood firm in his faith, and he trusted in God to get him through it. And he did. If you, very end of the chapter, the very last verse of the book, actually, it says, so Job died being old and full of days. You know, in the end, he ended up getting his health back and everything that he had. He ended up getting double of everything else that he had. He double his wealth and everything. And so he was blessed for keeping his trust in God. And that's what I have for tonight. So.